When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Alex here, and you're listening to another episode of the Market Adventures Podcast. Today's Wednesday, March 24th, and how about that red day yesterday? Bullish credit spreads were definitely the play Monday into the strength as we gave back all the gains in only one session. Today, we're going to look at a growth company that I've been eyeing for some time, but I missed the opportunity to get in a few months back. As I said in the last episode, the market is full of opportunities, so I'll be looking for another chance to get a position started around $50 if the sell-off continues. I'm excited to tell you what stock I'm talking about, so stay tuned. Full disclaimer, I drove Lyft for a few years just before I left New York, and again when I was getting back on my feet here in Miami. The stock is Uber. Uber. Now let's take a look at Uber as an investment. For a long time, Uber had a bad rep, and deservedly so. The company culture was horrible, the poor management, and this all led to some crazy headlines regarding their drivers, which is why I chose to drive for Lyft when I was choosing between the two. Now, Uber still faces many challenges. They still have their share of bad news. Most recently, they lost a suit in the UK, and now they have to classify their drivers as workers, which means they have to provide benefits. This isn't the first and won't be the last legal battle regarding driver classification that Uber has to face. To make matters worse, they're still not a profitable company, right? They're still losing money. With this new lawsuit, that will eat into their ability to post positive earnings, not to mention they still have a mountain of debt, and growing competition is still a hurdle for them. But this is what I see. Have you ever seen the movie WALL-E, where all the people ride around in those chairs and everything is autonomous and they don't have to get up to do anything? I mean, I don't think we're near that, but the mindset of convenience is being accelerated and in step with the speed of technology and innovation. Now, I think Uber is perfectly positioned to thrive in the world to come. People will want to drive less. They are going to be streaming way more, as we see already. They're going to be ordering in food, snacks, alcohol. People are seeking autonomous transportation, and businesses are always looking for more innovative shipping options. And back to the streaming, I don't know if you're familiar with the game Fortnite, right? A lot, they've done a couple virtual concerts on their video game platform. Similarly, there have been many artists who've done virtual concerts or virtual debuts of their albums. I think that is another realm that's going to blow up in the next couple, I would say years, maybe decade. So imagine people don't go to real concerts. They do virtual concerts with VR. They're going to be ordering in food, snacks, alcohol. So I think the streaming is just the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. I think moreover, when you get to doing like live events, live sporting events, just entertainment, I think a lot of that may be happening in the homes. And I think, again, Uber is perfectly positioned to benefit from that as well. Now, going back, Uber's founder was not the best leader, but he had incredible insight. And I think he was right, even though he was just a little early, about his bet on autonomous vehicles, right? Uber started investing in autonomous vehicles, I believe, in 2016 and researching. And they recently sold that division of their company to focus on paying down debt and kind of increasing or improving their core competencies, which is, again, connectivity, ride sharing, food delivery, things like that. But it doesn't mean that he was wrong. He was just early. Now, this new CEO, he's an OG in booking, transportation industry, and he has experience internationally as well. He was a CEO for Expedia before coming to Uber. Now, this idea, right, that I truly believe in and I think is worthwhile in this particular situation is a company can only rise to the level of its leadership, right? A company can never, doesn't matter how good the company is, it can never rise above the strength of its leadership. So having brought in a brand new leader with experience in building culture and building technology platforms and increasing market share in terms of their booking and transportation, all of this improves and raises the ceiling on Uber. Now, this new guy's name is Dara. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. He came to America about 9 years, when he was about 9 years old with his family. They actually escaped from Iran on the eve of the Iranian Revolution. So you know he's tough, and he definitely understands the meaning of gratitude and being grateful for what you have. And I think he's kind of molded that emotional connection into this new Uber community culture. Now, he went on after he came here to become CEO of Expedia, and he helped build it into one of the world's leading travel and technology companies. They now operate in over 60 countries, and if you've noticed, Uber actually operates in a bunch of countries also, right? He has a very good skill of building internationally, whatever organization he leads. Now, when he first came in, he said, this company has to change, and what got us here is not what's going to get us to the next level. Right, so you can tell where his mindset is focused. Now, the business model he's refining is centered around connectivity. Right, people think that Uber is just a ride-sharing app or a food delivery app. They're really a platform for connectivity, which is the way of the future. Again, if you've noticed, there's been a big push towards 5G. 5G is simply a stronger way to connect because that people think that is the future. Buffett even says, now Buffett's not an investor in Uber, but Buffett says that you should invest in businesses that have a simple business model because that means anybody can come in and run it. Now, obviously, not anyone can run companies, but having a simple business model allows for the transition to be smoother, much like when Tim Cook came into Apple, right? It's a simple transition. He just happens to be a very brilliant CEO, but he had a business model that was very simple to take care of. Now, another great number that I noticed that really stuck out to me was that they've reported having 93 million monthly active platform users. Now, you can see this on their company website. Just type in investor relations Uber in Google, and it can take you right there. 93 million is a lot for monthly active platform users. Now, it's not a subscription like, say, Netflix, which has over 200 million subscribers. But if you think about it this way, on Uber, I bought Uber Eats the other day. I don't use Uber very much, but I bought Uber Eats the other day on a couple occasions, and I didn't flinch. And now I went in to spend $20 because they told me I'd get $7 off of my $20 order, and I ended up spending like $40-something dollars, and then I had no problem tipping either. It just felt natural. They're tugging on the emotional strings in addition to making things seamless, in addition to having that upsell built into their platform. They're tugging on the emotional strings to support local businesses, right? Emotions sell. So even though I'm not a subscriber of Uber, I just paid $40 in one sitting. Now imagine doing that over the course of a month, getting a couple orders. Maybe they're not subscribers like, you know, Netflix, which, you know, gets $14 a month. But if you can get 93 million people to concurrently repeatedly use your platform, you're essentially like a streaming service, right? Even if you're only getting $15, $16, $20 a month from people through Uber Eats, that's essentially a subscription, right? Now, this is the next part that I was going to put in there, but I figured I'd bring it up as I was talking about that. They do now have a subscription model built into their Uber Eats platform and I believe their regular ride-hailing platform. Right now, subscription models, as you can see by the rise in streaming, subscription models are extremely profitable and the market loves subscription models. So, moreover, so we talk about subscription models. We talked about their crazy usage, user base. We talked about their CEO and the fact that they're perfectly placed for the future. They've even stated a plan to be fully electric by 2040. And they still have a foot in autonomous car research because even though they sold that part of their company, they still have a stake in it with the new owner of that research team. Now, be honest with you, people, if you look at the market, look at the charts and see how things are rotating, people are so focused on the reopening of the economy, right? And the return to normal for restaurants. And, you know, airplanes and flights and cruises, I think people are missing a lot of the big picture. And that's the macro, right? Yeah, in the micro, in the short term, people are going to be going to restaurants because they've been cooped up. They want to get out the house. But the work from home economy is not going anywhere. It's actually going to keep growing with increased technology. The world is moving green, which I think works in favor of ride hailing, right? To reduce cars on the road. And I think the explosion of streaming will increasingly have families at home ordering food, snacks, alcohol, etc., which Uber now delivers. You know, ride hailing, food delivery, and the other types of connective platforms that they have are well positioned. Now, if you're looking at the chart on the technical side, I'm hoping that they keep selling off like they've been the last couple of days because that means I can enter around $50. The weekly uptrend is flattening and it may be entering a range bound scenario for a little bit of time. So the bad news for me is good news because I want the stock to be cheaper. Eventually the bad news will dissipate and the stock will keep going up. They'll pay down their debt. They'll reach profitability. They'll increase their market share continuously. They'll get more subscriptions and their autonomous research is going to move in step with the other companies that are looking into it as well. And I'm going to be riding this stock all the way up. Let's see. Even though I've been making my money on the downside this week, here are a few stocks, just three, that look good on the upside in the coming days and weeks. Peloton, Beyond Meat, and Qualcomm. And this is strictly on a technical side. I think Beyond Meat's been beaten down a little bit, but it's sitting at a very emotional price point right now. Qualcomm is also riding that 200-day moving average. There was some crazy news on Intel last night that I think will give Intel, Qualcomm even a little bit of a boost. And I think Peloton got beat up just a little bit too much. Peloton has that cult-like following just like Apple. And I think as they begin to make their brand more affordable, as they begin to do brand partnerships and things like that, I think Peloton's profitability is going to keep on rising. Even though they were a stay-at-home trade, I think there's a lot more upside to them. So check out their charts and see if you agree with me. Anyways, happy trading. This has been your host, Alex Cunningham, saying be well. And remember, as you begin searching for answers to life's challenges, don't seek security. Seek adventure.